Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about being partners in marriage for the long haul and some of the factors that help make this happen. And you can find more family resources at mystronghome.com.
Yeah, the marriage partnership has many different moving parts to it. And so we're trying to just kind of talk about that over a several day period of time. Today, we're going to single out three different things. So one being romance, the second planning together, and the third oneness. And all of these have a lot to do with what it means to be a partner, because, you know, that's really what a successful marriage is all about. It's not about a 50-50 partnership. It's about, you know, each of us pulling our weight. Sometimes you're pulling 90% and I'm doing 10%. Vice versa. That's what a partnership is.
Right. It's not just always equal, because in our culture, we seem really set on everything being fair. We teach our kids how to be fair, and all those things are good until you become an adult or somewhere in there, you realize it's just not, it should be equal in a lot of ways, but it just, fairness doesn't look as an adult like it looked when we were kids.
Well, you kind of need to dump that obsession, that cultural obsession, because the reality is that, you know, God is just interested in justice. And justice comes as a result of us applying his principles, which is really the point. You know, we're supposed to all, both of us, be 100% headed toward God.
All the time. That's
right. Romance. You know, a lot of books have been written on this. We're just going to hit some of the highlights. Negative or unrealistic preconceptions develop dysfunctional shortfalls and expectations for intimacy and sex. But with that, you know, because we have a pretty wild culture, you know, and so, you know, girls growing up, men growing up, the whole idea of a healthy view of that is very difficult. And with that, affection has to permeate our lifestyle, because affection, you know, has its outworking in sex often, but they're tied together. So physical touch, verbal encouragement, caring body language, they're all critical to, you know, a healthy physical relationship.
And we're really not trying to blow by the subject, but it's such an extensive subject. I will say that there are a few books written that I've read that I find to be really good. A couple of them are written by Dr. Kevin Lehman. One is called Sheet Music. I think it's a very clever name. But also just the idea.
I remember you blushed when I bought it.
It's just the idea of romance. It's important to know what makes your spouse tick. You know, is it words of encouragement, like you said? Is it time spent together? You know, what are those things that you should be doing all day long? Because foreplay is all day. It's not just for the moment before.
Well, and really, when it comes down to it, men and women come at this differently. You know, one comes from the emotional end, one from a physical end, and figuring out how to get that worked out.
They intertwine all day long.
And it's truly a part of the partnership that works itself out in our relationship. I've got a list of things that are, you know, key expressions of romance that we've learned and read about. He or she is interested in things that are important to me.
Oh, yeah. So many of these next items that we're going to talk about on this list, they're not really optional for a good marriage, in my opinion. They're exactly what make a marriage work, make it fulfilling, and make it last. Think about all the things that you were so interested in when you first started dating. You know, if you were working on the car or on your bike or something, you know, I was right there hanging out with you. Yeah. And then, I don't know, somehow life gets in the way, kids get in the way.
I think it was the lawn. I think the lawn just kind of drove a wedge between us.
My point is, sometimes the things that you do when you're dating, you can't always keep that up, but you have to be careful not to lose all of that. One of our things that I've noticed is that women sometimes start to dress just how they feel like. But when we were dating, I cared about wearing what I knew you liked.
Well, yeah, and I think that kind of ties into the next point. He or she is a willing participator in the mutual responsibilities of our life together, because as we understand what the other person needs and and what we want, then we can, you know, meet that need in a way that, you know, is, I don't know, voluntary, and recognizing the other person before ourselves.
Yeah, and it's just remembering that we're building something together. We're doing it together because we're partners.
Well, one of the places that I think, and this third one just kind of pops this out for me, is you know, men and women are so different from each other. So he or she is physically affectionate and initiates non-sexual contact, offering me affection and emotional support when I need it. And, you know, men and women look at that differently. And so communicating on that has a lot to do with becoming a partnership together.
Right. And I don't know what I'd add to that, really. But honestly, it's really foreplay all day long, so to speak. And it's also just assuring in a deep place for women and men, I think. When that's going on, when that communication is going on and it's leading to good sex, it's assuring.
Absolutely, and reassuring in so many levels. So we have, you know, if we're going to have a good romance or have satisfying and growing physical relationship, taking care not to let our intimacy be consumed, and this is important, by selfishness, bad habits, or disproportionate life demands. And there's a lot pulling at us.
Yeah, I know from the female perspective, it's easy to let kids and all the work around the house keep me up too late, keep me just sidetracked. My mind is just always on all of those things. Yes, preoccupied. That's the word I'm looking for.
Well, and you know, right with that, you know, and I thought about this in relationship to me in particular. Bitterness about, you know, things not being the way that I want, or feeling sorry for myself, or an out of control temper. If those things are in check in our lives and in our partnership, well, there's so much more freedom in a partnership then.
These points we're going through are actually in a worksheet from a workshop that you can find at mystronghome.com. There are two boxes in front of each point, and we're talking about some of these today. One column of boxes for each spouse. So you check the ones you feel like need work, and then your spouse does, and you compare your answers. And on this one, you may check that you feel bitter, and it may be a surprise to your spouse that you feel this way. It's a great way to broach a conversation. You know, something that maybe you've been putting off, or in being asked the question, you may realize you have some feelings you haven't taken the time to consider and put into words.
The marriage partnership, that that pretty much covers romance. I think we've talked about everything that's important. There is the issue of how people coordinate and how they plan. And this is something we want to give a little bit of attention to today. We know and we share our goals, taking the time to check signals and make plans. And we have seen this time and time again, Bernadette, where where people that don't choose to do that and don't choose to communicate on that emotional level, checking with each other, well, we end up running over each other.
You check with each other regularly, and then on a broader scale, just to, you know, maybe even only once a year, just to consider your hopes for the year, things around the house or with your kids, or book you'd like to read, spiritual goals you have for yourself or your family. It's just kind of continual planning, little bit, like by little bit, you keep building something.
I like this principle here when it relates to partnership. We consult and communicate on important decisions that we make. And this was this is something we had to learn a lot about.
Yeah. And just recently I heard someone say, I'll check with my wife. We don't make any decisions over $100 outside of our budget without talking about
it. What a great idea.
And just in that statement, it told me a lot. They've done a lot of talking and working on, you know, that kind of an issue.
Yeah, I can still remember one time when I bought a guitar and came home, and I can remember the look on your face.
I'm sure it was lovely.
You did what? Of course, admittedly, you were concerned about groceries.
That's right.
Here's another one under planning. We actively plan activities and experiences that maximize both of our strengths and minimize our weaknesses.
And this takes a lot of creativity, because if one is social and one is less social, how do you find something that makes it work for both of you? It may just takes a lot of creativity, a lot of trying, failing, to keep trying.
Yes, I was a mediocre basketball player you know, growing up. Bernadette was a very good basketball player.
No, I wasn't great at all.
Well, you were a lot better than me. And I can remember the first time, you know, we played a game of horse together, I thought, you know, we're going to have to find an activity and experience that maximizes both of our strengths and minimizes our weakness. So we found ping pong, and you know how to play ping pong, but I picked up on it pretty quickly, and we got pretty competitive.
I played left-handed, unbeknownst to you, for quite a while.
I did not tell you, I am right-handed. Learning how to do that has so much to do with being, you know, experiencing a partnership when it comes to planning. One more thing here with planning, and I want to talk a little bit about oneness. We have a system and appointed times for recording our memories and reflecting upon our achievement milestones. I think this is incredibly important, because life blows by. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're so busy, whether it's career issues or our home and getting our next home ready or having children. There's so many things that take up our time and our attention.
Yeah, this isn't a word we use very much right now in our culture, but sometimes it's good to sort of take the time to say, this is a memorial to what has just happened in our life, whether it's something that has made us stronger or something that was a struggle or something that was very happy. You know, it can be either done with pictures or letters or just taking the time to think about it. Memorials are great to look back on and say, we got from there to here.
Romance and planning are two big things, which kind of culminate, and a lot of these culminate in the idea of oneness. Mm-hmm. And I want to just read off these things here and get your take on them, Bernadette. I embrace the concept of independent responsibility for my personal spiritual welfare.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna make excuses or be an excuse. The reality is that I can have a relationship with God even if things are not firing on all cylinders with my spouse.
Yeah, I think it's really an excuse that I can have is that if you're going kind of south in your spiritual relationship, it's an excuse for me to do the same.
Second, I contribute to experiencing a living spiritual mutual exchange, that we're both contributors in that. And I think we've really learned how to do that. And that is so... that's so heartening and so strengthening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with this being an item on the checklist that I talked about to talk over, you may find that you both feel like you're contributing, but you're not communicating clearly. So you don't know that you're both trying. It's just such a good checklist to encourage communication.
I've got two factors here I want to bump into before we leave the subject of oneness. The fear mm-hmm. factor in angry issues. You know, when trust is broken or respect is not shown, well, we become angry. And, mm-hmm. and the Bible says, you know, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So it's a spiritual issue. You know, mm-hmm. even when we have issues between us and another person, it's really something that we have to go to God to deal with so that we can deal with it with each other.
Right. One of the great hurdles, I think, in a marriage is when one or both of you have blown it. Maybe one or both of you got your household into debt, or someone's lost a job because of a mistake you made. You get the drift. Now you have to live with the fallout. And you know that God will help you find your way through, but whether you're doing it together or not is the issue here when it comes to oneness.
That's the fear factor. This is my factor here. The arrogance factor. The arrogance factor in angry issues where there's a lack of compassionate love, where I'm not, you know, really laying down my life like Jesus talks about. And if that's not under control, and if I'm lacking compassion for my spouse, well, then anger gets out of control. But at the root of it is not the anger.
Right.
It's the same thing with the fear is underneath the anger, and arrogance is often underneath anger. And figuring out how to get those things worked out and see which is the spiritual part and see which is the practical part in the relationship is a huge deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when any kind of trust is broken, it takes a lot of consistent work and proving and time to regain it. And there's a lot of fear, you know, followed up or covered up so by anger during this. So are you finding help to work on it?
I'm looking at the sheet on the marriage partnership, which we've been talking about, and we will be again one more episode together. And I'm thinking this is a checklist, and this part of a workshop. And these are things to sit down and have conversations about. We're telling you a little bit about what we think about them, but you and your spouse mm-hmm. have your own ideas. And you can find more video and course information at mystronghome.com. 4stream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to 4stream.com and click on the radio button.
Together we are finding hope at 4thstream.com.